Scripture reading this evening before the lesson is from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. And Peter writes, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellences of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. For you were once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy."
Thank you, brother, for that reading. We'll look at that scripture in just a minute. Thank you so much for the opportunity to be here tonight to speak to you from God's Word. Our son here and his wife, Daniel and Melinda, have been members of this church family for a long time now. And you've, I think, more important than physical family is the spiritual family. And so thanks for taking good care of them. And now they have their own physical family growing. And so it's our only grandchild that's out of California. So it's a good thing it's in Tampa, because we come to Tampa once in a while. But anyway, thank you so much for taking care of them. And I know there's a lot of visitors here. A lot of you I went to school with, and a lot of you I've known from our work in California and work in Eastern Europe and Bulgaria and different places. And so it's just an honor to be standing here. I know there's a lot of gospel preachers out there that are also here, and I'm sure probably could do a better job than me, but I've been selected to give you a few minutes tonight, and that's what I hope to do, to encourage you. We live in a time where a lot of people they're really have an identity crisis. They don't know who they are. They don't know what they want to be. They don't know what to do in life. There's just a real identity crisis. And I think sometimes even in the church, sometimes people have an identity crisis. Well, our lesson this evening has to do with this idea that we should know who we are. We are a special people, a people of God's own possession. Now, if you think about that, there's a lot of things that might indicate. But this does. Usually, I like to preach from a text, but this particular thought comes from a lot of different texts. One that our brother just read, in particular, verse 9: "You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." He says here, you are God's people. God, if you will, owns you. Well, wow, that should cause us to take note of what he's saying here. God owns you. You are a belonging of God. Now, this study actually is an outgrowth of just a personal Bible study I was doing one day, and I came across this verse, and I'm like, I just read a similar verse in another place. And then I thought, well, there's not only that place, but another place. And so I began to look at the many places that this concept that we are God's own possession is stated in a few different ways, but look at the way it's stated in Titus chapter 2, verse 13 and 14. "Our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus, who gave Himself to redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for Himself a people for His own possession, zealous for good deeds." And then there's Ephesians chapter 1, 13 and 14. "In Him you also, after listening to the message of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed with Him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance with a view to the redemption of God's own possession. To the praise of His glory. We'll come back to that in just a moment. But over and over again, we see this expression that we are God's own possession. We belong to Him. He owns you. Well, why is that? Well, because He purchased us. Now, a lot of this can be traced back to an Old Testament passage where God is saying His people were His people. They belong to Him. Malachi chapter 3, 16 and 17. Those who fear the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord gave attention and heard it. And the book of remembrance was written before Him. For those who fear the Lord, who esteem His name, they will be mine, says the Lord of hosts. On that day I prepared my own possession, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. Now, God says, look, you know how you are with your own kids. What do we say? Blood is thicker than water. And don't we cut our own family maybe a little bit more slack than we would cut somebody else? And God says, look, you belong to me. And I'm going to keep you and protect you, and I'm going to give you what you need because you're mine. And so I got to thinking, well, what does God mean when He says you are a people for His own possession? What are the implications involved in us being His? And what then, on the flip side of that, what does that mean for us? Who would say, yes, I belong to the Lord. I want to be on that side. I want to be on that team. What does that mean for us? Well, glad you asked. Because I think there's a few things we can talk about. We are of special, great value. The value of something oftentimes is increased because it belonged to a person. Something that belonged to Abraham Lincoln, and you could prove it. You ever watch some of those shows, on the Learning Channel and places they go out and they buy things and they're swapping things. And someone says, well, this was owned by George Washington. And they go, well, prove it. Now, if they prove it, then those guys get really excited about that because it was owned by someone very important. We are of great value to God. You're special. Now, this text here, and we'll talk about this in just a second, it used to say peculiar. My dad was a gospel preacher all my life. Passed away about a year ago. And Roland Fritz, I'm sure many of you probably knew him. When he would preach about this, he would say, you are supposed to be peculiar people. And I always, growing up, thought, well, that means we got to be strange and we got to pull our pants up here and we got to, and you know, you can't look like. And that's the way a lot of people think this passage means. Peculiar, strange, odd. But really, the translators have changed this word to special. Now, I know maybe that gets us into trouble these days because, you know, if you're in a special needs, that kind of changes that again. And it's special. But special meaning, there's a value there. I was watching some of the Super Bowl. And thank you so much for being here and not hearing all the lead up to the Super Bowl. And, oh, that's going on. They said to this running back, said, watch how he goes through that hole. That makes him special. Just threw that in just for extra there. Because that didn't make him special. He's good. And I want to tell you something, too. You're special. And, you know, I live in California, and we have some strange people out there. Why did you laugh? We got some good people too. Sometimes Cindy and I will just say, wow, isn't that special? Land of fruits and nuts. But I've seen some of them out here too. I happened to be downtown yesterday, and there were some pretty special people downtown for the Gasparilla Parade yesterday. We all like priding ourselves in the fact that I'm unique. I'm different. Look at my fingerprint, so to speak. I'm different, and I'm special because I'm different. And true that, we are all different. But I'm going to tell you something. You're not special because you're different. Not in this sense to God. That may seem as a shock. That what God chooses, and He wants everybody, and He wants black and white and red and yellow and short and tall, and good thing He likes us fat people. He wants all these people, right? Sure He does. But I want to tell you, it's not because you're unique, but it's because you're the same. That really is what He's saying. You are part of a sameness group, a holy nation, a group of people. You're special because you're God's people. And when God looks down and He sees you, He doesn't see, oh, that's that preacher out there in California. He out there working with a small church and doesn't have as great a song service as you. Awesome song service, brother, by the way. I love the singing. He doesn't look at me and say, oh, he's up. And He doesn't look at you and go, oh, you know, you're struggling in that. You know what He says? All of you are part of the nation. All of you are part of the people. And He doesn't bring us in because of our uniqueness. He brings us in because of our willingness to be the same. He obtained us. He acquired us. He purchased us. He bought us with His blood. And that's what makes us unique. Not unique from one another, but unique from the world. And separate from the world. And different from the world. Because, you see, God looks down and Paul tells Timothy, He knows those who are His. And He looks out and He sees a lot of people that are not His. But He looks at you and He looks at me. And He's part of His nation, part of His people. We are of great value to God. Not because we bring uniqueness to the table. Not because we have different likes and dislikes. You know, my son likes the Yankees. And I come from the land of the Anaheim Angels. I meant Los Angeles, Anaheim Angels of Anaheim or something like that. I don't know why he likes the Yankees. I accept him as my son. I tolerate that Yankeeness. God doesn't look at our uniqueness and say, oh, well, that we need that as a part of the team. He looks at our willingness to be a part of the team because we have become His family. So we become great value. In both Titus chapter 2 and 14 and 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, the word special replaces peculiar. It's used not in the sense of odd or weird. You're special because we were purchased by God. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 20, you have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. We are unique, special, a holy nation, because we are different from the world. But we need to flip that. I mean, we could explore what that means from God's perspective more. But I want to flip it. I want to look at it. What does it mean from our perspective? We belong to God. We have come to understand and realize, even in early in the country's history, we don't like slavery. It's wrong. It's detestable. Some recent movies have brought some of that to light. But yet, we're willing to say God owns us. Now, to many in the world, that would be just as detestable. But why are we willing to say, I belong to God? And what does it mean for me? Well, God has gone to a lot of trouble. I want you to look at the second part of 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. In fact, I want you to turn over to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. And we're going to actually read 1 Peter 2, 9 down through verse 12. And in this passage, it further explains our response to this. That we have, once we've signed up, so to speak, we have a responsibility. Peter writes, "But you're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession." Next three words. I love these next three words. So that you. I love the "so that" passages. In your daily Bible study, I want you to start reading. And when you see a "so that," your ears need to pick up. So that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. For you were once not a people, now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from the fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, so that the thing in which they slander you as evildoers, they may, because of your good deeds, as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation. So what does he say? He says, so that you may proclaim His excellencies. When was the last time you told someone how awesome it was what Jesus did in your life? What Jesus does for me. We go, oh, wait a minute. Isn't that kind of testifying? Isn't that what He tells us to do? Tell people how much the Lord has done for you. So that we might proclaim His excellencies. And then he says, one of the ways you do that is keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, the non-Christians, so to speak. Titus chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. Same thing. A people for his own possession. What? Zealous for good deeds. What that means for us is that we belong to God, so That translates to me doing something for God the best I can. Showing His excellencies. Ephesians chapter 1, and I want you to turn to this passage as well. Ephesians 1, verses 13 and 14. This is one of those texts. And he says, with a view to the redemption of God's own possession. God redeemed us. He bought us back. For what? So that we would be to the praise of His glory. In fact, I want you to look at this passage. In verse 6, 12, and 14, he says the same thing over and over again. In verse 6, verse 5, he says, He predestined us as to adoptions through sons, through Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the kind intention of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, which He freely bestowed upon us in the Beloved. Look at verse 12. To the end that we who are first to hope in Christ would be to the praise of His glory. And then verse 14 as well. He says, who is given as a pledge, well, back up to verse 13, the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance with a view to the redemption of God's own possession to the praise of His glory. By the sheer repetition of these phrases, He's saying to us, I bought you. You are valuable to me. Now be of service to me. Glorify me. Praise me. Show others that praise. And we can look at Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. Still abound more and more in knowledge and discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Christ Jesus, to the glory and praise of God. Appreciate it again, as I said, the songs, but a lot of the songs I appreciate lately have been more focused on praise to God. And sometimes we talk about our praise period. And I appreciate that too. We all need the wonderful time together of praise and worship and devotion. But it's not just supposed to be then. Our lives are to be a praise. When we step out of this building, when we are places where you think no one knows you, we are to be to the praise of His glory. I believe that's one of the great missions that God has given to the church. Not only to the church, but to each one of us individually, so to speak. When I was thinking about this, found this passage in the Old Testament, which I think relates to what Jesus was getting ready to do when He came to this world and what God was getting ready to do through Him. I will pour out water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry land, and I will pour out My Spirit on your offspring and My blessing on your descendants, and they will spring up among the grass like poplars by the streams of water. Let me stop for just a second. God says, I'm going to pour out My Spirit. And it sounds very familiar, doesn't it, to Ephesians chapter 1, which we just read. God was going to put His Spirit on us. It was going to be His seal. It's as though He says, this one belongs to me. And He says, I'm going to do this. I'm going to pour My Spirit out. And these people will be Mine. But then the application Isaiah made to this is interesting. And this one will say, I am the Lord's. And that one will call on the name of Jacob, or be called by the name Jacob, some of the translations say. And another will write on his hand, belonging to the Lord, and will name Israel's name with honor. You ever think about that? You think about these people raising their hands and saying, getting their Sharpie out, writing on it, "I belong to God." Another one writing, "Property of the Lord." Another one saying, "It is an honor to be in God's family." I have another granddaughter out in California that just turned one. She's about 13 months. The other day she got a green Sharpie. And she was writing all over her face and all over her arms. And her parents said, I don't even know how she got the marker. And my daughter posted it on Facebook. And she's looking like, "I'm so proud of myself." Grandkids can make you smile. And they can make you think. How much are we willing to write? Maybe not with a Sharpie, but with our words, with our heart. "I belong to God." I believe we are living in a world which fewer and fewer people are, as we sing, standing up for Jesus. We will be called upon as Christians. In this changing world, to stand up for Jesus. There's an Old Testament principle found in Exodus chapter 21, verses 1 through 6, but in particular, verse 5. Let me back up for just a second. Under God's law in the Old Testament, a Hebrew could indenture himself to another Jew. And he could go and serve him, but on the seventh year of Jubilee, he was set free. His debt was paid. He didn't have to owe anything. It was done. It was finished. You couldn't perpetually do this. But God made a provision that some might want to really stay with a master because they treated them well and they didn't have another place to go. And so one of God's provisions was to allow this slave to indenture himself permanently. If the slave plainly says, "I love my master, my wife, and children, I will not go out as a free man," then his master shall bring him to God, and he shall bring him to the doorpost, and his master shall pierce his ear with an awl, and he shall serve him permanently. And we go, wow. But probably some of you know where I'm going. There's a song that out in California, at least, we taught the summer camp, "Pierce My Ear, O Lord My God." And it's based on this song. And the idea is that if you really belong to God, you're going to say, "I belong to God permanently." What was interesting about that was when I started thinking about this and wanting to put it in the sermon, I thought, I don't remember all the words to that song. So I'm like, well, Google's my good friend. So I Googled it. Guess what? My son, Daniel, for 3 months, thought he might want to be a preacher. So he went up to Alabama I think he still could be convinced. So twist his arm. But he wrote an article called "Pierce My Ear" for the church he was working for in Alabama. He was the number one pop-up on Google, so I was pretty proud of that. But here's the words of the song. "Pierce my ear, O Lord my God. Take me to your door this day, for I will serve no other God. Lord, I'm here to stay. For you have paid the price for me. With your blood, you ransomed me. Now I will serve you eternally. Lord, I'm here to stay. And the chorus then says, so pierce my ear, O Lord my God. Take me to your door this day, for I will serve no other God. O Lord, I'm here to stay. Romans chapter 6, verse 17 and 18 says that we were slaves of sin, but now you are slaves of righteousness. We are a people for God's own possession. If you're not, if you have not allowed yourself to be His, you need to change that. If you are here this evening and you've not obeyed the gospel, if you've not said, I want to be on the Lord's side, you're still one of those on the outside. You might be peculiar, and you might be special to your parents, but right now, you're not on His team. You can be. If because of your faith, you turn from your sins and you confess that Jesus is the Christ and you're buried with Him in baptism, you rise to be one of God's special people. But maybe you've done that. Maybe you've gone back to the world and you realize you're not doing the deeds that God would have you to do as His people. And I would encourage you as well, if you need prayers on your behalf, won't you come while we stand and while we sing together.